Dear friends, it's good to be together again for the study of chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. We must agree that what we describe here having to do with persecution, hardship, is not conducive to lift up the spirits. Nevertheless, we can be assured that during these moments, God is as close as possible to His people. Yet, the question that keeps coming up is how, from the perspective of the world as it is today, could one see emerging a power which would receive worldwide general acceptance and which would yet also persecute God's people that much? Well, this mystery will finally be made clear to us through a second beast coming now, the beast that comes up out of the earth, which will cover the second part of our study of chapter 13. I invite you to read from chapter 13, verses 11 up to the end. Revelation 13, 11 to 18. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. This text is somewhat mysterious at first, but we'll try to understand what light it brings to us. The first characteristic of this beast is that it rises from the earth. Yet, we have already met the earth, this land that rescued the woman while the dragon spewed water out of his mouth like a flood, that she might be carried away by the flood. And we understood that the new world was without any doubt that earth. In fact, it is from this very land, from this new world, in other words, the United States of America, that will rise the beast of the second part of the chapter 13 we are interested in now. So, let's examine closely this chapter 13. Of course, we have some difficulty understanding what is being said here, but still, keep in mind in verse 11, he had two horns like a lamb. Like a lamb. This reminds us of a lamb, the Lamb of God, we saw in chapter 5. While the voice here, that of a dragon, brings us closer to the dragon we saw in chapter 12. So, here is a beast that looks like a lamb, but which finally speaks like a dragon. What a seduction! What an extraordinary vision! The beast resembles in some ways to Jesus. Its gentleness, its candor, perhaps a certain way of behaving, but in fact, its words are those of a dragon. We are still not able to identify it yet, but we have already seen that the expression the earth enabled us to recognize the United States of America. Let's move a little forward in the text, where we'll better understand through a new characteristic that this beast is indeed the United States of America. What does verse 12 tell us? It exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. Now, the first beast is the feudal system of the Middle Ages, which reigned with undivided power throughout the Western Europe for over a millennium. Which power has currently taken over today? Who has taken global leadership today? Without doubt, it is the United States of America. Therefore, we have here a beast which exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence. That is to say, without destroying it. We are not in the same system as that of the beasts in the book of Daniel, where one overthrew the other to put itself in its place. This is not at all the same case here. The second beast exercises the authority of the first beast in its presence.
Par conséquent, il n'y a pas là de conflit entre ces bêtes.
It will even see to it that the inhabitants of the earth worship the first beast. Therefore, there is no conflict between the two beasts. I'll go even a little further. We saw the same astonishing transition between the dragon and the first beast. The dragon had passed its authority, its throne, its power to this beast. Thus, the transition from the Roman Empire to the Roman Church or to the feudal system of the Middle Ages went on smoothly. Now, here we have a second smooth transition, and I'd like to invite you to discover it because, in terms of history, it refers to the time when, with the French Revolution, the feudal system collapsed in Europe, and when were born the United States of America. And if the year 1878 has been considered as the starting point of the Constitution of the United States, thus we realize that it really coincides with the French Revolution. Consequently, we have here several elements which allow us to pinpoint this new power, this rising power emerging from the new world, the States of America. However, we shall see with the rest of the text that defining it as the United States of America is not enough. For if we go through verse 13, we shall see that the second beast causes inhabitants of the earth to worship the first beast. But it does this by working something special. Let's read verse 13. Revelation 13:13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So, He performs great signs. Jesus warned us. If we read his great prophetic discourse in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24, we already have this statement, Matthew 24, 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Do not think that this seduction will be of low magnitude, insignificant, and will be easy to unmask. False Christs and false prophets and great wonders. Imagine that there be extraordinary miracles. Imagine that there be spectacular healings. Wouldn't the world be seduced by such things? So, you can evidently see the way the enemy will proceed. But that's not all. Let's move a little further and we'll better understand how the seduction will operate. Indeed, because this beast works wonders, it will be called a false prophet. I invite you to read chapter 9 of Revelation, verse 20. Revelation 9:20.
Apocalypse 19, verset 20.
Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Thus we have this beast which is here called false prophet. The false prophet is defined as the one who seduces the inhabitants of the earth and who leads them to receive the mark of the beast, which is exactly what is being described in chapter 13. Therefore, we can say that for sure the beast that rises from the earth, the two-horned beast that speaks like a dragon, is nothing but a false prophet. And this characteristic of false prophet will appear very clearly with the text below, which I invite you to read. We are still in Revelation chapter 13. Let's go to verse 15. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Revelation 13, 13. He performs great signs, so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. To make fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of man is indeed a miracle. Yet, if we consider what happened in the second chapter of the book of Acts, we also have a fire coming down from heaven as tongues of fire. So, we can understand what this seduction would look like. I invite you to read chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verses 3 and 4. Acts chapter 2, 3 and 4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What an extraordinary miracle! And we must agree that when it occurred at Pentecost, those Jews who were gathered there, coming from all nations, and who no longer knew the Hebrew or the Aramaic language, and who could not really participate in the celebration of the worship, were surprised to hear each one in his own language. Such a manifestation of the Spirit was extremely effective for launching the gospel among the Hebrews. Thousands were converted on that day.
Parmi les Hébreux. Et ce sont des milliers de personnes qui se sont converties. Alors imaginez
now, imagine that at the end of time, a false, deceitful reign of spirit is manifested. People pretending to speak on behalf of God, but in fact speak from the enemy making miracles. Will this not be enough to seduce the earth? Certainly. Therefore, we see that the seduction is such that even the elect could almost get caught by it. By the way, note that there is an antithetical parallel between the two. Just as there is a real reign of the Spirit, there is a false reign of the Spirit. Then you may ask, how not to be seduced? How to make the difference? I invite you once again to go to the letter to Philadelphia, chapter 3, where we may see then what are the means given by God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12.
Apocalypse chapter 3.
He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. A first element is given here to follow Jesus into the service in the sanctuary. It is also said to this church in verse 10, because you have kept my word about patience and endurance. The word. That's the secret. Keeping the word of God. This is the surest bulwark against all seductions. And the epistle to the Corinthians clearly speaks of the gifts of tongues, this reign of the Spirit. But it expresses itself under certain conditions and according to certain criteria. The fact to strictly follow the word of God will prevent us from falling into traps. So, among other advices given us by Jesus, we can read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, the latest recommendations. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The study of the word, watching and praying, all these do, not only on our own, but in common. Bible study group, prayer group, look one after another, these are the advices given to us by God. Let's move on a little more in the text, and we shall understand that this coming seduction is such that has never happened before on earth. Verse 15 tells us, Revelation
13:15.
He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak. A supreme subtlety will be found in the technique of this beast to cause the inhabitants of the earth to worship the first beast. He will not impose worship, but he will propose the inhabitants of the world to make an image to the beast. Because if the beast finally managed to survive such a trauma as the French Revolution, which apparently sent him to death or almost to death, if he is able to arise out of it, then we must imitate him. Then an image of the beast will be made. But it will be men of the world who will make an image to the beast. Probably, because the beast is a political religious system, the image of the beast will be a political religious system. This is one of the snares, because sooner or later, a political religious system turns out to be persecuted. So men make an image to the beast. When King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make an image to be worshipped by the then known world, he didn't ask for one and all to change a religion. He simply summoned all the heads, all the religious and administrative leaders of the world he knew, and asked them to bow down to the image he erected. Could not this be a picture, an image of what will happen in the end? What if men set up a system with universal values such as love, solidarity, justice? Establishing these things without asking to change religion, but simply to gather under this banner and to recognize one supreme authority. From that moment on, everyone can live the religious he wants. This is what lies ahead. Here is the most subtle temptation we have to face. Shall we withstand? How to deal with it? See, facing this extraordinary temptation, because who can stand against the fact that all men agree never to make war, to share common values, to establish a universal system? Who can reasonably be against? Or who can reasonably justify this thing out? What will God's people do? How will they manage? This is what chapter 14 is going to tell us. But you see, in front of this seduction, which main avenues and key features we find in chapter 13, the word of God, and especially the prophetic word, is essential for a clear vision to permanently inform us about the enemy's intentions and how to deal with them. May God help us in these difficult times that lie ahead.